glory, His divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual epicenter of the universe. Good morning and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, airing live from the Radio Sai studios. And the current time here in the ashram is exactly 41 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Today is Thursday, November the 17th, 2016, and we are counting our way down to the big day, only 5 more days to go till next Wednesday. Right now, Prashanti Nilayam is in the thick of the birthday celebrations. As you know, the 91st birthday anniversary of our beloved Bhagwan Baba will be celebrated next week on Wednesday, November the 23rd, 2016. Already, thousands and thousands of spiritual seekers from everywhere are here, and busloads and taxis are arriving every minute. This morning, as I was driving in through the Gopuram gate, there was quite a lineup of out-of-town cars ahead of me, so I had to wait in line to just get inside the ashram. You can actually smell the joy and the celebrations in the air. And my favorite personal activity is to enjoy the evening bhajans or the music program of the mandir while sitting outside the mandir, you know, near South Prashanti, because from there you can watch the heavenly sights of the Sai Kulwant Hall, the Yajur Mandir, the Sarvadharma Stupa, the trees around them, and it's evening time, day is blending into night, there is very beautiful lighting, and everything is so delicately illuminated to mark the celebrations. But to do that, you have to sit outside the mandir, which I think is worth it at this point, this time of the year. Sometimes it's so nice to just sit outside and just take it all in, the sights, the sound, the vibration, the divinity. I can't help but tell Swami, thank you for letting me enjoy this beautiful heaven on earth and to be part of it. And what is helping us further right now in the celebrations is the picture perfect weather conditions in the ashram these days. We have overnight lows of 19 degrees Celsius, making our evenings and night times very pleasant and cool. And it's clear and sunny during the day, with maximum going to 30 or 31 degrees Celsius. The air is clean and crisp. Over the next few days, as you can imagine, as is the tradition here, we are going to be enjoying a wonderful lineup of programs, musicals, dances, dramas and whatnot. Tomorrow, November 18th, we'll have the Rathotsavam, which is the chariot festival, and we will celebrate it, of course, as always, with a lot of gaiety and music in the ashram. Ladies' Day will be celebrated on November the 19th, and everybody looks forward to the amazing program that the primary school children present on that day, the girl students of the primary school. November 20th and 21st will see programs being presented by the SSIO, that is the Satya Sai International Organization, as well as by the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Prashantigram, I beg your pardon, because our super specialty hospital in Parthi is celebrating its silver jubilee this year. For the past 25 years, this hospital has been serving lakhs and lakhs of patients, and providing tertiary healthcare to all of them. And Bhagwan Baba has spent millions and millions to provide this service to everyone. Meanwhile, the patients who have benefited, that is lakhs of patients, have paid nada, zilch, or 0 rupees for all the services provided here, be it sophisticated surgeries, diagnostic testing, food, medicine, or stay at our hospital. So we have to celebrate this sterling example of enormous altruism that only God can sustain. You can look forward to these programs on November 20th and 21st. On November 22nd is the convocation of Baba's University, the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. November 23rd, which is Wednesday of next week, is the biggest, most glorious day in the Sai calendar, and like always, it will be the grandest celebration ever all over the world, including in 121 countries where the Satya Sai International Organization operates, all over India, in every state of India, in every union territory of India, in every samiti and every bhajan mandali, and in Prashanthi Nilayam, of course. And this year, Baba's birthday will also be celebrated in every Sai home, because the All India President, Mr. Nimish Pandya, has called upon every Sai family to celebrate Baba's birthday at their home as in a manner befitting this grand occasion, just like we celebrate Diwali. So this year is going to be a bonanza celebration. The 91st birthday anniversary is going to be huge. Dear listeners, I hope you are on your way to Prashanthi Nilayam, your true home. But if for some reason you are going to be celebrating this momentous occasion elsewhere, worry not. You can still stay connected to Prashanthi Nilayam through radiosai.org. You can watch all the programs live or deferred live in case during the live celebrations you are at your samiti, you are in your Sai center. You can come home and watch the deferred live at your leisure by logging on to radiosai, radiosai.org. You can also download our app on your mobile. Looks clearly, Swami started Radio Sai only to bless all of us with this 24/7 connection with Prashanthi Nilayam, its glory, and particularly its Lord, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Now, last week, I asked a question here on Morning Glory to all our listeners, and I'm happy that so many of you participated. But just one reply came, I think, day before yesterday, so I'd like to share it. My question to everybody was, which is the only currency that Bhagwan Baba trades in, and one which is immune to any demonetization or devaluation or market fluctuations? And one listener, I think she heard perhaps the program later as a deferred live, has responded, and I'm happy to say that Meenu Chulani of Montego Bay, Jamaica, West Indies has responded with the correct answer. Meenu Chulani of Jamaica says, love is that currency. Yes, Meenu, you're right, and congratulations to you. Now, today on Morning Glory, dear listeners, I'm serving a delectable menu which is sure to nourish you spiritually. We will lead the program with episode number 3 of Self-Reflection by Mr. K. Chakravarti. This is a part of our 91st birthday special. This self-reflection will be followed by a brand new special conversation with Dr. S. Hema of the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital about the role of yoga, that is Hatha Yoga, in holistic healthcare. You may remember that earlier I brought you two interviews with Dr. Sunil Menon of the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital on integrative health, and going by the response from our listeners, I think they were very well received. The interview that I will play today with Dr. S. Hema is the third in the same series, and I promise you that is very enlightening and inspiring. So I urge you to get into your attentive listening asana and enjoy the show this morning. And I will be eagerly looking forward to all your feedback to the third episode of Self-Reflection, as well as this special conversation with Dr. S. Hema. You know where to reach us, listener@radiosai.org. That's our feedback line. Please send in your thoughts, comments and suggestions to any of our programs at this email ID, listener@radiosai.org. Up first is Self-Reflection, episode number 3 by Mr. K. Chakravarti, and this one is titled A Historic Project. This will be followed by a special conversation with Dr. S. Hema of the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital on the role of yoga in holistic healthcare. Have a listen and enjoy the show. Thank you for your company. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Self-Reflection on Radio Sai. Self-Reflection is a unique presentation to honor the 91st birthday anniversary of Bhagwan Baba. In this series, we have Mr. K. Chakravarti, a long-standing devotee and a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, read out articles that he has penned for various commemorative volumes that were published during landmark birthdays of our Lord Sai in the period 1990 to 2016. Today, you will hear Mr. Chakravarti share his third reflection in this series, entitled A Historic Project. He had penned it for a special volume of Sai Vandana, published in 1995. This self-reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 16th of October 2016. And here it is for your inspiration and listening pleasure.
A historic project. I shall begin this with two quotes. One from Psalm 107:35, which runs as follows. He turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs. The other is from John 4:14. Whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up into everlasting life. Sri Satya Sai Water Supply Project is meant to pour the water of life in one of the worst drought affected districts in Andhra Pradesh. Indeed, in the country itself. After conferring the gift of free education for illuminating the young minds and the gift of free advanced medical care to the hapless and helpless poor people, Bhagwan willed that pure, safe drinking water must be literally poured into the parched life of large number of people in Anantapur district. The result is Sri Satya Sai Water Supply Project. In November 1994, Bhagwan, on the concluding day of the function held to celebrate the national integration through music on the eve of 69th year of his advent, spoke during his divine discourse about the acute problem of lack of safe drinking water in Rayalaseema area of Andhra Pradesh, and set it in the wider context of interstate water dispute, which has become rather intractable in the country. The Prime Minister of India and the Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh had attended the function. While generally delineating the problem, Bhagwan made the astounding offer to bear the expenditure, be it 100 crores or even 200 crores, for providing drinking water in this part of the Andhra Pradesh which suffers from scarcity of such water. A month or two later, the government of Andhra Pradesh approached Bhagwan to help implement the drinking water project. Initially, the government of Andhra Pradesh came up with a proposal to dig an irrigation canal in Andhra Pradesh which will also cater to the needs of drinking water. Bhagwan pointed out that his idea is to provide safe drinking water, which is better provided through pipes and not through open canal system. He therefore asked the representatives of Government of Andhra Pradesh to submit such plans if they are already formulated and ready for implementation. And to their surprise, he said that he wants to get the project executed before November 1995, that is, within 10 months from the date of the meeting. Contrary to the general impression, regarding the inertia of a government machinery, the government of Andhra Pradesh, through its Panchayat Raj department, moved fast and by February 1995 submitted plans for providing drinking water to about 700 villages as indicated by Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. Although the government of Andhra Pradesh initially estimated the plan to cost about 70 crores, it was found by the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust on detailed working to cost nearly 200 crores and even above, a very substantial increase, almost three times the initial estimates. Any other trust would have backed out, faced as it was with such cost. Not so Bhagwan. It was his will that he should turn the drought-affected and flood-affected villages into safe havens for the poor, lost and lonely, where ordinary people will calculate the cost-benefit ratio. Bhagwan considered only the benefit and not the cost. His love and selflessness stood revealed, and the God in human form became magnified. Let me say briefly the components of the project. 1. Direct pumping of water from Penahobilam balancing reservoir after treatment through rapid sand filtration. 2. Pumping water from infiltration wells on the river beds of the Chitravati balancing reservoir at Parnapalli. 3. Pumping water from other infiltration wells on the Pennar and Hagari river beds at various places in the district. 4. Pumping water from the Tungabhadra high level canal when water flows in the canal for about 5 to 6 months in a year and store it in summer storage tanks so that water can be supplied throughout the year from such storage tanks after slow sand filtration treatment. 5. Where water from the Tungabhadra high level canal or balancing reservoir or any other river cannot be conveyed, pumping subsurface water through borewells is to be done. For the first time, I suppose, trenches for laying pipes in rural drinking water supply project in India have been cut by excavators for hundreds of kilometers. This is indeed a massive job. Almost about 2000 kilometers of pipes ranging from 600 mm diameter to 80 mm diameter are laid in the trenches so cut. About 250 overhead reservoirs ranging from 40,000 liters capacity to 300,000 liters capacity have been constructed, besides 125 ground level reservoirs. Water from infiltration wells behind the Chitravati balancing reservoir is pumped into ground level balancing reservoirs atop steep hillocks, and the sumps at various places fill through gravity flow before water reaches at the end in places like Prashanti Nilayam in this sector and Kadri in the other sector. Approach roads for these ground level balancing reservoirs in the hillocks have been made through excavators for carrying materials. Massive cutting of the hillocks has been done to find space for erection and installation of transformers and the electricity substation and for diesel generators. All in all, the various schemes are pretty daunting indeed. Various diameter pipes, be it AC pipes or CI and DI pipes or PVC pipes, have to be transported from different parts of the country in thousands of truckloads and dozens of railway wagon loads. And all these are being done in the course of about 70 to 90 days. The roads are crowded by so many trucks, endlessly following one after the other. It was a thrilling sight, of course. This project, intended to provide drinking water, as the magnitude goes, is a sizable one and is in fact unprecedented. were naturally struck by the cost and the spread of the project. But it is not strange that we are taken in by this project, but take it for granted the bountiful rain given by him. Human nature is such that it glorifies a tiny expression of divinity, but ignores the vast and continuous expression of divinity. Rain is not taken as a visible symbol of God's will, but pipe transportation of water from the God-given source to human habitations is considered as reflecting his love. True, it is so, but truer still is such natural phenomenon as rain. I'd like to say something about the management of the project. The department concerned in the government provides the designs and specifications. The well-known multi-service organization, Larsen & Toubro Limited, is the prime agency for execution, and the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust is the funding and coordinating agency. Bhagwan is a great unifier and inspirer, be it for the government department or Larsen & Toubro Limited. It is his presence that provides a unified vision and a shared goal for the government department and L&T. There has been no occasion when there is a difference in perception or a noticeable dissonance, and this is because of the mandate given by Bhagwan to them that an enduring solution to the chronic problem must be provided, and also because of the trust and confidence reposed by him on them. The conventional management wisdom is to categorize managers as hands-on and hands-off managers. The one keeps everything in his hands and the other delegates responsibility to persons below. Such conventional categories cannot be extended to Bhagwan. He is both hands-on and hands-off manager. As in other areas, it transcends the neat dichotomy to which our limited human minds are accustomed to. He is meticulous to the last detail, and he gives great autonomy to the functionaries, the power that empowers others.
Sai Ram, you're tuned to Radio Sai special series, Self-Reflection. You are currently listening to Mr. K. Chakravarti reading out his article, A Historic Project, written for a special volume of Sai Vandana in 1995. This self-reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 15th of October 2016. Please continue to stay with us for the rest of the narrative.
There are a few instances which linger in my memory. It was a hot, dusty day as I started survey of the villages along with other persons in charge of the project. Driving into a remote village, when the mercury touched about 108 Fahrenheit, we found young children carrying pots of water from long distances. In another village, a long set of people waiting for their turn patiently at a hand pump on a bore well caught our attention. And then in village after village, the same plight was seen. As we used to get down from our vehicles to finalize the site for drilling a bore well and then eventually to be connected to an overhead reservoir or a ground level reservoir through pipes and the whole system to be energized through an appropriate rating of motor and pump, the villagers used to throng around us and murmur, "These people have come from Sai Baba, and Baba is giving us water. Surely we'll get water very soon." Simple and straightforward in their comments, their eyes lighted up from below the distraught eyebrows and furrowed heads. And then one felt in them a tangible confidence and trust in Swami, and the bond of love that exists between Swami and all these village folk, many of them not even having seen Swami. And so we moved from village to village, And since word had already gone round that Swami has taken up a project to provide drinking water, villagers extended their help to the team of geologists in their arduous task of finalizing alternative places where a reasonably good source can be located. And immediately thereafter, rigs moved into the villages, and before the villagers could exhaust their conversation about the first phase of location and drilling, other workers moved in to cut trenches to provide pipelines and direct cisterns or construct overhead service reservoirs. The villagers, long accustomed to interminable delays from the time of location of borewell source to extrusion through a network of pipelines, could not conceal their amazement at the speed with which Swami was getting things done, and said in high praise, "Only Baba can do this, not government or anyone else." I recall the first day of my visit to the proposed location of infiltration wells behind the Chitravati balancing reservoir at the villages called Pedakotla and Chinnakotla. We drove into the village in a jeep after a grueling ride in a hot sun. As we crossed the village to move onward to see the site, we were told by a few villagers that we cannot move further as the track is totally sandy and only a jeep with four-wheel drive can go with difficulty. They said a little consolingly that we can walk if we do not mind doing so for about an hour and more under the midday sun. Our spirits were naturally not high, and we were debating amongst ourselves to go or not to go. And then suddenly a villager said that he has just heard the sound of a jeep of a landowner of the village, and that his jeep is a four-wheeler. We decided that we could ask for a drive to the site in his jeep. We walked up to his place and briefly told him about our problem, then asked for his name. He said, "My name is Sainath. I know you have come in connection with Baba's project, and I shall drive you myself in my jeep." We all felt at the same time that myriad are the ways in which Swami manifests himself, and here in the person of a villager who carries the glory of his name. And as we move day after day through villages covered by various schemes in this project, there are strange ways and coincidences through which matters were getting resolved, and we could take them all as ample evidence of the presence of Swami and his guidance. Looking at the project as a whole, I feel that one feature that characterizes most is the time frame. Other features are there, such as the diverse nature of the schemes, the technical complexity, their being spread over a considerably vast area, their cost, and being funded by a charitable trust. All these add up in the totality to a unique project. All these may in some features and in some measure be duplicated elsewhere, but in its overall reach and in the underlying spirit, it is singular and non-replicable except by Bhagavan himself. The project is a standing expression of the expansive love and utter selflessness of Swami. In its physical aspect, this drinking water project is meant to quench the thirst of people in drought-affected area. But in its deeper spiritual sense, this is a call to all of us to drink the water of everlasting life from the one who manifests himself from age to age, and in this age has chosen the divine form of Bhagwan Sri Sakti Sai Baba. Thank you.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard Mr. K. Chakravarti read out his article, A Historic Project, that he had written for a special volume of Sai Vandana in 1995. This self-reflection was recorded at the Radio Sai Studios on the 15th of October 2016. Today's reading was the third in a series of self-reflections, a special program in honor of the 91st birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Baba. Mr. K. Chakravarti is a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan Baba and a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. And in this series, Self-Reflection, he reached out articles that he had penned for various commemorative volumes published during landmark birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Baba over a period of 26 years, from 1990 to 2016. Dear listeners, we look forward to your feedback to this special presentation. You can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. Thank you for your company, and please continue to stay tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony, coming to you from Prashanti Nilayam, India. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to a very special conversation on holistic health. Our topic today is health and yoga, and this is a third interview in a series that we have been doing. The first two conversations were with Dr. Sunil Menon, who is the head of the Department of General Medicine at Swami's General Hospital here in Prashanthi Nilayam, and he spoke about this integrative approach to health and healthcare. And today I have a privilege to welcome another medical practitioner who works at the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital, and despite her medical training, and after her medical training, I should say rather, she has turned to use yoga as a tool to good health. So with that introduction, I'm happy to tell you more about her. Dr. S. Hema received her medical education from the Kilpok Medical College in Chennai in 1973, and she has practiced both general medicine and gynecology. In the year 2001, Dr. S. Hema turned to yoga, and she learned it from Dr. Ashok Kumar of the Indian School of Yoga. And her training led her to becoming the Yoga Kalamani, or a Master of Yoga. Currently, Dr. S. Hema is the author of a number of books, and she travels around the world to countries such as Singapore, Malaysia, and USA, training yoga teachers, and her training leads to a diploma in yoga therapy. She has been a Sai devotee for the last 40 years, and for the past 15 years, she has been a visiting doctor volunteering at the Sri Satya Sai Super Specialty Hospital here in Prashanti Gram, where she was visiting in the cardio screening department. And she has been a visiting doctor at the Sri Satya Sai General Hospital for the last 5 years. Last year, in December of 2015, about 11 months ago, she moved to Puttaparthi to work full-time at the General Hospital. Initially, she was part of the OPD, the Outdoor Patient Department, and now, for the last 3 months, and we are recording this interview on the 11th of November, 2016. So for the last 3 months, as the General Hospital decided to turn to holistic medicine, she started teaching yoga and yoga therapy to the patients who come there, in addition to the medical attention that they are receiving. So with that introduction, I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Hema. Sai Ram, madam.
Sai Ram.
Very nice to have you, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Sai Ram.
And now, you've been teaching yoga. You have so much of experience in yoga. I would like to begin by asking you, what role can yoga play in the general well-being and health of a person?
Well, Sai Ram, yoga means its union.
Yes.
Actually, it unites the body with the mind and mind with the soul. It also integrates the thought, word and deed, or you can call it the three important heads of the body, head, heart and hand, are also coordinated. So you get increased flexibility of the body, the willpower is increased, the power of thinking and creativity also gets increased, and concentration, the work gets increased, memory power, digestion, excretion, blood circulation in all parts of the body also increased. Because the body resistance is increased, you are preventing many diseases. And also it reduces the excess fat in the body, and the triglyceride level, blood sugar level are all decreased. Physical fatigue can be overcome. You feel fresh throughout the day. And it brings all the emotions, negative emotions, under control. And hormonal balance is established. And it also delays the aging process. It helps in getting rid of the bad habits. It gives the willpower to come out of the bad habits. And it also, many of the diseases are cured because most of them are through the mind, and makes one feel fresh throughout the day, teaches you to accept the life as it is, and helps you lead a happy, healthy, harmonious and long life with positive attitude and success.
Sounds like an ideal formula for living a good life. Now, how is practicing yoga different from other forms of exercise such as aerobics or weight training? Because people, we tend to join gyms and buy ourselves treadmills and elliptical cycles and do that kind of exercise. So what's the main difference?
Very good. This is a very good question. Actually, yoga refreshes while the others exhaust you. So at the end of yoga session, you feel fresh and very happy. At the end of, other aerobic exercise, you feel very tired and exhausted. Because the energy is conserved in yoga and the energy is wasted in the other forms. And the mind is calmed in yoga. In other exercises, it's not happening. And there's no age bar for yoga. Even old people can do it. And also, even ill people, like the heart patients also can do this. People with high blood pressure can do yoga, but they cannot do the other forms of exercise. And the people who have undergone surgery also can do after 3 months, like if there is a transplant, renal, or even the heart, everybody can do after 3 months. And there is no wear and tear of the tissues, even with prolonged practice of yoga. And there is no sweating after the yoga. So there is no electrolyte imbalance, and there is no additional work for the kidney. The kidney would have been already weak for the BP patients or diabetic patients. So if they have to have more work, it's difficult for them. But in yoga, there is no sweating, there is no electrolyte depletion or no hormonal imbalance.
Of course, unless you're talking about the variant of what they have introduced in the West called hot yoga, that is not the original hatha yoga that...
Yes.
Patanjali thought of.
Patanjali, you should be convenient is more important. Sthiram, Sukham, Asanam. When you do the asanam, the body should be sthiram and sukham. Sthiram means steady. Sukham means convenience.
Uh-huh.
And you should not sweat. People will ask, I am not at all sweating. How I am going to have benefit? If the sweating is going to give benefit, then people as well can stand on the street. We get a lot of sweating.
Yeah, in this part of the world, we sweat a lot.
Sweat a lot. Yeah. Sweating is not going to be helpful.
And at that point, I thought was very pertinent. You said no wear and tear, because a lot of people who go to the gym, then they have knee surgeries and this and that, all kinds of issues because their ligaments are pulled. And
Here, there's no wear and tear. And another one, range of movement will be greater in yoga than the other form of exercise. And yoga balances the functions of organs. If the organ is underworking, it is stimulated. If it is overworking, it is suppressed. This does not occur in other exercise. And you no need for any assistance. And it's also cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
All these are the advantages.
But assistance means at least we must learn from a trained person, right?
First, learning takes 1 or 2 days. That's all. According to our... what we are practicing, only 1 or 2 days have to go. Afterwards, you practice at home. Then you need not go in the for conveyance, going and coming and giving. All this is good.
And I just want to share this little fact because, you know, there is so much of scientific evidence now that is coming out which supports yoga. And our listeners might find it interesting to know that the American College of Sports Medicine supports integration of yoga into daily exercise regimen of all healthy individuals.
Yes.
So it's not only about just, you know, pounding the pavement or running constantly on the treadmill and lifting big weights and building those muscles and causing yourself all kinds of stress. You can also do it in a very deliberate, calm and focused manner, in a state of mindfulness.
Yes, that's the difference.
And achieve very good results. In yoga, mindfulness seems like an important component. Why is it so important to yoga?
Mind is the most important thing in the body. Mind affects the body and body affects mind. Both are interrelated. So whenever there is a problem in the mind, it affects the body. Whenever there is a problem in the body, it affects the mind. So, most of the diseases are psychosomatic. It arises from mind only. So, especially the negative emotions like anger, hatred, jealousy, all these things make you fear. These are four negative emotions. Every time you have these negative emotions, the body is full of bad juices, which is harmful to the body. That is a cause for all the diseases. So, your mind should think good. If the mind is thinking good, you hit a positive health. That's what Swami's prescription also for good health. So, yoga is not only just lifting the leg or doing something else. It is about the way of life. How you look at the life, whole attitude. Yoga teaches you to accept as life as it is. That's very important. And gives you all good emotions like love, everything is developed. What we are talking is the Hatha Yoga. There are so many types of yoga, but usually mostly spoken is the Hatha Yoga. Ha is the sun and the Tha is the moon. So Hatha Yoga, there's always some sun and the moon in our body, negative and positive. That should be harmonized. There should be not excessive anything or any less also is bad. Only moderation in speech, moderation in weight, everything moderate is good. Extremes to be avoided. So this helps in moderation, in harmonizing, in balancing the sun and the moon. So when you have some problem in the mind, then that affects the body. In that mind becomes good. We do the breathing. So according to Swami, Swami says, bending the body through asana, bending the mind through pranayama, and ending the thoughts in meditation. That is the definition of yoga from Swami. So when you do pranayama, it mends the mind. The mind is always usually under repair only. It has to be repaired because it's always full of negative thoughts. When you do pranayama, it is like taking bath for the body. How the bath purifies the body, so the mind is purified by the pranayama. So mind is very playing much role in our.
And Swami says avoid worry, curry and hurry. So worry and hurry are from the mind.
Mind only.
We get so anxious.
That has to be avoided. And especially in this modern life, it is full of stress for the people. We want to achieve, run, and then we don't know where to stop the running. We are going behind the materialistic thing. That's with the world. But the disease is also a byproduct. Diseases like diabetes, BP, and heart ailments, we hear it of more and more now for the past 40 years. Actually, they are called as disease of the modern life. These three diseases have been labeled.
Lifestyle.
So modern disease. So for that, stress is the main reason. That occurs only in the mind. So mind can take up anything if it is trained properly. Definitely through pranayama, through the breathing. Because there is definitely a relationship between the mind and the breathing.
I know, because when we are stressed, we hyperventilate.
When you are angry, you can know how your breathing is there. When you are cool and calm, you know how the breathing is.
It's almost like you are not even breathing. It's so calm
so
and
calm.
Slow.
You don't even you are just looking at something which you like very much concentrated, then you say, oh, nice. It was very nice. Yeah. That means we...
Breathtakingly nice.
It is becoming reduced. Yeah. At one point, you even stop taking the breath and then take a sigh of relief. Like, oh, it was very nice. So, when you do the things which you like very much, that the breathing rate will be becoming less. And when you do a thing which you don't like, definitely the breathing is very fast. And irregular. So, there is a definite relationship between the mind and the breathing. So, the important thing is, when you control the breathing, you are controlling the mind. That is pranayama.
So, you know what they say, that the cooling and the heating energy, there are two currents running parallel. That's what we hear from the base of our spine going up, and those two have to be balanced. Otherwise, you know, we have all kinds of disorders, including psychiatric and psychological. Could you help us understand that a little better, Dr. Hema?
Actually, there are three main nadis. One is called Sushumna. It is the large central nadi. It is situated in the spine. The other one is called Ida and Pingala. Ida is from the left nostril and is called Chandra nadi. And Pingala is from the right nostril and it is called Surya nadi.
What exactly is the science behind yoga, Dr. Hema?
Our body is either use it or lose it. So when you are not using many things, you are losing it. So the yoga helps you to get the things, everything, every part of the body is used.
So all muscle groups, all organs, everything is kept active.
When you are not talking for some time, you even forget talking. When you are not walking, you even forget that. So we have got all the ability to do so many things, but we are not doing it. So we are losing one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So to bring back everything is the yoga. And main science is we have got 5 kosha in the body, which is not described actually allopathy. It is in yoga. There are 5 kosha.
And in the sense, 5 sheets or layers. Layers of our personality. Yeah.
And that is, first is called annamaya kosha. It is of the material, the food we are all taking from the childhood, from the mother it comes. That's called food kosha.
And somehow annamaya allopathic kosha. Medicine sort of stops mostly there.
Only that. We give treatment only to that.
Okay. That's what all. Comes after that?
But after that is the pranamaya kosha. That's the vital air or the breath. And then is called as manomaya kosha. That is about the mental and emotional things. And fourth one is called vijnanamaya kosha. That is the integral consciousness, rational and discriminatory. And the last one is called as anandamaya kosha, which is blissful kosha. According to yoga, these are the 5 kosha. And all this has to be balanced and to be strengthened. That is by yoga postures. We are able to do everything through the yoga, asana, pranayama, meditation. 8 steps are there. So, our Patanjali gives very good easy steps, 8 steps to reach that. So, easy for all ordinary people like us also to climb because the steps are very easy. 8 steps.
But the kind of yoga the celebrities we see on TV doing with their toned body, that's so intimidating to a person who hasn't begun. So I understand you really made it simple. Swami has guided you to break it into bite-sized pieces that even a novice can attempt.
So yoga is not that even flying in the air is yoga, walking on the water is yoga.
We'll get there a little later. Where do we start? I would love to learn how to fly in the air and walk on water. But
so everything is yoga. But usually people were all frightened only. It around, I think only 100 years back, again it came to our normal usage. Previously it was done by everybody, but after some time they thought, yoga means it's for flying in the air or walking on the water or sitting on the thorns. Why should we do it? They stopped it. So they all lost their health. Then people like Vivekananda started first, and then they only started spread. Swami Sivananda. He was a doctor like us. And when he went to Rishikesh for his posting, he saw many people wandering there. But accidentally he met them and saw they were treating the disease which as an allopathy doctor he was not able to treat. Then he thought what they are doing. He is doing all simple procedures they are doing. That is the, I tell, for the yoga therapy. Then he understood modern man can also do to prevent diseases, to cure diseases. He found out many things. Then when he is telling in India, nobody listened to him. Then he did a wise part of going to California. He started a Divine Life Society there. And then everybody started doing that in that place, California, and became very healthy and all the diseases are cured. Then they came back to India. Then only people understood. So now we have started curing diseases with the simple things, not the complicated things. Also yoga, that is for getting the prize in the Yoga International and all that. But even simple thing is like an ordinary shavasana is going to give lot of benefits. That is the thing.
Swami. And you know, you said about Swami Sivananda ji going to America, and then yoga sort of gained some respectability because Westerners were doing so. Indians said, okay, now that it has gone the route, everything has to travel from India to the west coast of America and then come back.
then it's got the stamp, the stamp is there.
Interestingly, the number of people who were participating in yoga in the US was close to 40 lakhs, or that would be 4 million in the year 2001, and it has increased to 2 crores by 2011. And I think by now the number of yoga practitioners, I remember Prime Minister Modi saying that 40 crore people around the world practice it. And among other things, interesting fact that we have is President Obama stated yoga has become the universal language, and he has implored citizens of America to participate and take part and show support for yoga. And the Harvard Medical University's newsletter of 2010 says that benefits of yoga on blood pressure and cardiac health were investigated and proven to be useful. Just a few little tidbits that I want to share with listeners. Benefits of yoga were also investigated in cancer patients and proven that yoga improved insomnia, pain, depression and fatigue in the patients, and this was published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology and Nursing in the year 2008. Similarly, the Scandinavian Journal of Psychiatry published the benefits of yoga on mental illnesses such as schizophrenia in the year 2012, and it has also been used for issues such as de-addiction and so on. So, coming along to the Sri Sathya Sai General Hospital. Now, if a patient comes to the hospital and the doctors might prescribe medicine and some blood tests and all kinds of diagnostic, you know, X-ray, ultrasound, and many of them get referred to you as well. And you're not there to treat them as a medical doctor. You take them to the special room where you give them customized yoga exercises. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes. Actually, we teach simple asana and simple pranayama and meditation to tailor to the need of the person. Each person is different. That's very important. So, just two or three asanas and one pranayama and one meditation is enough to cure the disease. That is by Swami's grace. That's the experience I got through over my 16 years of yoga. Because I was getting more and more patients referred from my colleagues in Chennai. I was having a big institute in Chennai, and I also travel. Everywhere I go, they know I am a doctor, so I know more about the body. They are very confident of sending me patients.
But for treatment through yoga?
Treatment through yoga. Hmm. It's actually, I will tell always, it's not a replacement therapy, it's a supportive therapy or adjuvant therapy. So don't stop any medicine. Yoga helps the medicine to act more on you.
Hmm.
And so, by some accidents, or we call it coincidences, Swami gave me so much of experience. I have to thank Swami's grace on me for that, Sairam. So, I'm not like other institute where you go for months, or they call you to come minimum 3 months to get cure of the disease. Like a real doctor, I want to minimize that thing. People be telling me, I want to come daily and do it, doctor, here. Then I'll tell them, the dentist tells you which brush to use, what type of paste you have to use, how to use it. That's all. You go and do it in your house. You cannot ask dentist to do everything with you. Like that, don't come here. I will teach you. You go and practice at home. I cannot do. Then if you are lazy, then that's all. You have to do it. Then we are able to do it. We make the patient understand that they have to do it at home. And because it's very simple, and 5 minutes of asana, 5 minutes pranayama, 5 minutes dhyana. That we are taking for 1 hour. So make them do it repeatedly. That, and if any question, they can come next day if they are
so
nearby.
So total custom tailored capsule is only for 15 minutes, although you teach it over a 1 hour period.
That also, what I tell, the 5 minutes of asana can be done in the afternoon or evening, just before your breakfast, or just before lunch, or just before dinner, when your stomach is empty. And the 5 minutes of pranayama should be done first thing in the morning. And the 5 minutes of meditation can be done any part of the time, irrelevant of your taken your food or not. So it's easy for them. So we have separated into three. Like morning, definitely pranayama should be done first thing in the morning. Don't miss pranayama. Even you can miss anything else. So first importance is given to pranayama. Second is given to the meditation. Third one I give to asana. If at all you don't do, don't worry. You just do the pranayama. Because pranayama itself, I'm just telling om 21 times the way Swami wants. That only cures 50% of the diseases.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I chanted this morning because you told me.
So with the breath, I take a long breath and tell the om long as much as possible. Daily telling om.
Can you give us a demonstration of one om, the way we should say, please?
So first breathe in, and then during breathe out, you have to say the om. My teacher, Dr. Ashok Kumar, my guru, has taught me, tell O half, im half. So, that's what I'm teaching.
So, O
should take half the time. Im should take the other
okay.
half. But some people say, one third, and that's different. What
so is akara, ukara, makara?
Akara, ukara, makara. A plus U becomes O, mm-hmm. and the im is there. That's half the air you are letting out through your mouth.
Okay.
Half the air you are letting out through the nose.
Okay.
That's
all right. Please give us a demo.
So first breathe in and breathe out, half O, half U. I'll tell. First breathe in and then. So people give much importance to O, and then last one they say Im. No time at all for the Im.
Okay,
then we tell them you should. So reduce the O, that's what the vital capacity is, the one we measure usually in medical practice. That gives what, how much lungs you have got the capacity. We ask you, give you a balloon and ask you to blow how much air you are doing. That is the vital capacity. Mm. Here we are measuring your vital capacity through the O. If you are able to say a long O, that means it's your lung has got big capacity, it can take more air. So oxygen is the main thing what we need. From the air we are taking it. Oxygen is the cure for every disease. That is the medicine. So when you say warm, you get more and more oxygen because all the basal air also gets out. Usually when you breathe in, breathe out, we are all very lazy in breathing, I must say. We take a superficial breath only. So some of the air gets trapped under the base, which is the cause for TB infection and all bronchitis, everything comes. But when you say warm, when you tell it, want to tell it in very last to the one, then you expel all the air there. For that, you can see, if you sit straight only, you can do. So, to have more Im, you will do all the manipulation of the body to make it straight. That is the best part. When you exhale all the air, then naturally all the air, fresh air will come up to you with all force. Because it's vacancy, that there is a
room
vacuum
there.
Clean.
Yeah.
Vacuum created inside your lungs. Yeah. The fresh air comes very easily and goes. Like that, if you do 21 times, it also takes care of the capacity of the vital capacity becomes more. And also, worm has got more than that, subtle effects.
Apparently, it charges the energy of every single
all
chakra.
All the chakra is getting activated. When you say om, starting from Mooladhara chakra, all the energy centers are activated. That means all the hormones are activated. So, it's very nice. So, I will tell my students, just say 21 om daily. 50% of the class is over, I will tell.
And after om, you tell them to do anulom vilom, right?
I'm telling each patient, there are so many.
Okay, depending on the need.
Usually, I tell about the 3-part breathing is there. Uh-huh. People don't breathe fully.
Uh-huh.
There are 3 parts of breathing. That is, the lungs get expanded in 3 ways. Either you can go up when your shoulder gets up while during breathing in. And the chest becoming sideways big. That's called chest breathing. And then abdominal breathing, because the lungs has got the capacity to get pulled downwards also. People don't use it usually. So, that means the diaphragm is not getting touched. Diaphragm is not pushed. If the diaphragm is pushed outside, the abdomen has to come to the front while you breathe in. But 50% of the class, first the beginners, if you ask, they will say, it's all going inside. When you breathe in, it's going in, they will say.
It should be the other way around. When we inhale, our stomach our abdomen should
come out while you breathe in.
Expand.
And it should go out when you breathe in, and you should go in when you breathe out.
Yes.
That should be the thing. But almost people with the disease, they come, they'll be always having the shallow breathing. If they got the good breathing, they don't get the disease. So we teach them simple how to do your 3-part breathing by elongating. You train your lungs to get pulled downwards also. That's very important. That's a deep breathing. That's abdominal breathing. We teach them.
Okay.
So that's very important. So I teach them second one will be that. Then that Kavalabhati Kriya also for some people who don't have some problems like Kavalabhati Kriya, very simple Kavalabhati Kriya I'm teaching. A forceful exhalation followed by active inhalation. And I limit them. You start only with 6, then do 10, then do 15. Maximum after 2 months you can do 20.
No more
than that. Okay. All the upper limit is very important because we are treating people with the patients with the problems.
Yeah.
Not the ordinary people. Ordinary people are different. People with the problems are different.
So, since you're dealing with patients, I'm sure many of them have difficulty sitting on the floor or crossing their legs. How do you teach them asanas?
I make them sit in the chair. I make them lie down on the cot. And if they can stand, I make them go near the support of the wall and do 1 hour asana, 2 hour asanas. That's all. Standing 1 hour, 2 hour, or lying down, shavasana will be for everybody.
Of course.
Then one more asana.
But how many repeats do you prescribe for each asana?
Each asana to be done two times.
That's enough?
Each with a 10 counts or 15 counts maximum. All the standing will be 15 counts, say. And the other one is important difference between other institute. We don't combine with breathing. That is BK's Iyengar's teacher I have taken. That is, Iyengar doesn't want breathing to be combined with asanas. We don't combine. Because people with the problem becomes more when they do with the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So the asanas are done, there they have to concentrate only on the body, not on breathing.
Okay.
In the pranayama, we do
the
breathing.
I see. And I heard you are very big champion of Vakrasana, which is the spinal twist.
Saira. Yes. I do it with the standing. I help them with the standing. Chair Vakrasana is there. I make them do in the chair.
Why is Vakrasana so important?
Because Vakrasana is the most important for everything because it takes care of the health of the spine, which is more important.
So if the spine is healthy?
Spine is healthy, everything is healthy. Because there is a nervous system, there is a spinal cord with which brain is activated. So Vakrasana is very important for everything. So basically I teach everybody Shavasana and Vakrasana.
Shavasana is my favorite.
Shavasana.
I think every lazy person's favorite.
Yes.
Is the last one where you lie down and you relax.
No, that is different for us.
Again, oh, you do it different?
I say different.
How do you do
Shavasana
it?
Is not the Shavasana what you all speak about. That is different. For us, we do only 5 breaths. That's from our Dr. Ashok Kumar has taught me. It has given me a very good thing from Vivekananda Kendra. That is, we have to concentrate on the breathing, abdominal breathing. You lie down flat and concentrate on the breathing. See that your abdomen rises like a balloon while you breathe.
When you inhale.
And it comes down while you breathe out. You close your eyes, concentrate on abdominal breathing and say to yourself, I am breathing in. My stomach is coming up like a balloon. I am breathing out. My stomach is going down. I am breathing in. My abdomen is coming up. I am breathing out. My stomach is coming down. That's all. Minimum 5 to 6 will be the first. Maximum any number. As I said, we can be happily have the Shavasana for a long time also. But that's the only thing. Not others. They make it tight, then make it loose and all that are different. Our Shavasana, Shantyasana gives peace immediately. When you concentrate your attention on the breathing, you get relaxed. That too when you do deep breathing. So this teaches you deep breathing and relaxation. Most of the diseases go, like pain and all, is because of the muscle spasm. They get relaxed. When you do the Shavasana, the muscles get relaxed, so the pain goes. And your emotions, all the negative, are very angry, you just lie down like this and concentrate on breathing. If you cannot lie down, at least you sit and start seeing your breathing, closing your eyes. If you cannot close your eyes also, then just say to yourself, looking at the person, you just think I am breathing and breathing out. Then whatever the other person is telling is not going to enter you into this thing. You need not react on anger. There's a way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are angry, you look at your breathing.
Mm-hmm.
When looking at your breathing makes all your emotions under control. So mm-hmm. Shavasana we are doing always first 5 to 6 breaths at the beginning, at the end. So this Shavasana, Shanti Asana gives 50% of the disease over only with this. I want to tell you one incident or accident, you call it. I had been to Metu Dam, where one of my friend, Dr. Bhuma Gynecology, arranged around 70 people for yoga therapy session.
Mm-hmm.
She just started telling me, this is Dr. Hema, my classmate. She is able to teach everything. We just listen to her. And she was there for the first session where I taught the Shavasana. Lie down, all of you. For whom the abdomen is coming down, I'll ask. 50% of the people will say it's going out. Then 50 will say it's going in. Then I say it has to come out like a balloon while you breathe in. That's the only thing she listened. And then she went to her own, she's a busy gynecologist. She was called for a cesarean. She went. She never came for my other classes. Previously, that is 10 years back, I was taking class from morning to evening. Swami slowly, with all the accidents and all that, made me simplify the procedure. I have to say thanks to Swami. So nice of him. So, I am getting a call from this doctor. I left the Metu Dam after just 5 o'clock, I finished all the whole people and then went. I couldn't even see her when I left the place. I just said, tell Dr. Bhuma I'm leaving. And I'm getting a call from this Dr. Bhuma, my friend. Hema, after you came, I got relieved of my neck pain. I got relieved of my back pain. I'm able to do my surgery now. I thrown out all the callers because of your yoga. I said, what yoga? You never listened to me. You were never there for me. What you are telling Hema, my yoga? She said, no, something at the beginning, you know, you were telling when you breathe in, the stomach has to go up. When you breathe out, just come down. That night I went to my room and before sleeping, I was just seeing what I was doing. I'm doing the other way. So I thought, what is this? I have to do this. So she did daily for 1 week, only 5 minutes just before, and then she used to get sleep just after 5 minutes. That has taken away her all the spasm muscle in the neck and the back. Mm. And she got removed all the thing. She's telling me, I'm so happy. That means Shavasana is enough for all the pain. That's the thing I'm getting from her. Like that, I got so many incidents in this 16 years, I'll tell you. That only made my classes simple and it's easy.
So after this very easy to follow 5 minutes of pranayama, which includes 21 omkars and little bit of kapalbhati or alternate.
For some people, Nadi Shuddhi pranayama. Yeah. For some people, Brahmari pranayama. Yeah. There's many pranayamas. But my experience tell me what disease and what type of person he sees and all that to be desired. As I told you, it's dealing to a need of the person. Then I will decide what is good meditation for her, what is the thing for her. Then I suggest for that.
5 minutes of pranayama, 5 minutes of simplified, customized asanas.
Yes.
Which you just spoke of. Even if you can't sit on the floor with cross your legs, you can do it on a chair. Or standing by the wall or on a bed. Hard bed, obviously.
Yes. They need not lie down at all on the floor.
Okay.
But the bed should be very rigid, not a soft
firm bed.
A firm bed.
Yes.
Or remove everything from all the bed and put just a bed sheet and do it on
a hard bed. Yeah.
That's advice.
Okay. And then the third set of 5 minutes is for meditation. Can you tell us a little more about that, please?
I am teaching one meditation called Alpha Meditation. It's very easy, like a fast meditation. What Swami wants and whatever it is, everybody wants is a long silence and all. It will also come to them after they do a lot of practice on sadhana, you have to do, no? For this Alpha Meditation, it's not like that. Just it's very easy. I think the steps are all there.
So we can do Jyoti meditation, whatever we are comfortable with.
Any meditation is okay.
You just sit
for 5 minutes. Mm. And then at the end of 5 minutes, you just say all positive things. That's very important. At the end of OM also, you are in the alpha stage. Mm. At that stage, you tell all positive things. That's all. I tell them, be positive. Tell mentally, I got cured of my illness. That's all. You think you have become all right. Mm. You even visualize. That's more important. So after telling OM or some mantra, you have to sit quiet, still, without moving, relax all the parts of the body, say some mantra, and then say 1 to 60. Count and visualize. 60. Up to 60. Then you are at the alpha stage. At that stage, you tell all good things, like day by day, in every way, I am getting better and better. 3 times. Then you say, I'm a good person, I'm a loving person, I'm an energetic person, I'm a healthy person. Like that, all tell good things. And then your specific things is gone. Not that it should get over, not like that. My headache has gone, my diabetes is gone, I become all right. Like that, you have to think and even visualize.
Positive affirmations.
Positive. And affirmation and visualization. You got rid of the thing and you can see.
My extra 20 pounds have just gone.
Just think you are seeing at the mirror. And I want to tell you, Dr. Hema, you know, our chief always used to say, at the GH, every year she sees me here, Hema, she'll just pat on my back and say, hey, you're reduced weight, how is it, you tell me like. So she was the one, I want to tell Dr. Gui first, and then Dr. Hema, these are the people who encouraged me to incorporate the GH I have been doing for the past 10 years, I think. So she used to tell me, how is it that you got, so I was around, 77 kg. Now I am 62, 61. It's coming like.
And no dieting involved.
Not much of it. Yeah, that's what I want to tell you. When the obesity, not that all the calories you spend, this is the willpower you are getting, the right thinking you are getting, which is more important for me. Should I do dieting or not? People know you should not touch. But what is that if you just one day they take like that, we take. But once you do the yoga, the pranayama and meditation, you think which has to be given, what is the preference to be given.
So good choices, you make good food choices.
Yes, that's all. That is how And that next one, because you get always tension, no, you overeat. Whenever you get some tension, if you want to go near the fridge and take what is there, like, then you feel as if you are happy. But now you are going to be happy with the pranayama and meditation. No stress, then you don't overeat. And you get the willpower to resist the food which you are not supposed to take for reducing the obesity or reducing your diabetes. That is how it works, yoga, not by just spending out calories or sitting.
Now, Dr. Hema, the interesting part I saved for the end. You're a trained doctor, medical doctor. You've been practicing general medicine, gynecology, and now at the peak of your career, you've switched to yoga. So I believe this whole journey began with your own personal experiences. Could you briefly share those with us, please?
So first I was exposed to yoga therapy when my son, Sriram, who just entered into IIT, he got a very bad sinusitis. He came back home just doing some abnormal sounds. He couldn't even speak. Then I asked, what is the problem? He couldn't even tell. I thought he has ingested some foreign body inside his nose. Then I took him to the ENT doctors, all famous doctors in Chennai. All of them said they have got severe allergic rhinitis, and that has to be treated with 3 surgeries, one in the ear, one in the tonsils, and one in the ear and nose and the throat. All 3 surgeries means he has to be away from the college, yes, just entered the IIT. Then I went to one, Dr. Susila Sambumurthy of Chennai. She is our guide, like she is our chief in Sai Kripa, Sai activities. Then she told me, no, don't do, you go to one yoga therapist who will clear this. So I took him there and he got all right.
What did the therapist prescribe?
He never allowed me inside.
Okay.
He said, I will do something to him. You just be outside. I will do something to him. So he taught some exercise to him. And then my son was doing that and he became all right.
Hmm.
So I was thinking, what
surgeries
is, what is this
avoid.
Yoga somebody is able to teach? That is I had the idea about the yoga therapy. He became all right within 3 days. He ran to IIT telling Amba happy not having the surgery and all. This is the first word of yoga therapy I'm hearing about it. But that, then 4 years my son there in the IIT, then 2 years in IIM, 6 years, 8 years passed. I never heard about yoga therapy afterwards. I just left it. But I had the curiosity, but I had no time to think about it or do it. I spoiled my health like anything because of my overweight, my diabetes, my BP, my cholesterol, and also had my joint pain. In spite of being a doctor, I'm very ashamed. I was not.
Actually, a lot of doctors tend to be poor patients, right?
Because
they don't have no time.
I was telling you, I was in Chulai Meadows in Chennai, busy practitioner, gynec practitioner. I should be available to the patient all the time. Then only they have the belief because I'm a obstetrician. Anytime they have delivery. Then if I am not there in one time, what is this? The doctor is not there. They'll think like that. So all 24 hours we are available to the patient. So I was a very good doctor. You earned name, fame, everything, money, everything. But at the cost of my
health.
And also to look after my family. I have only one son, but my parents, old parents and everything, you know. So everything. And also, I'm also involved in the Sai activities. I was also a convener of a bhajana mandali in my house. I was a president of my ex-Nora in my place. I was a religious thing, one Visalakshima in Mandram. I was the head. Everything was there.
One busy body.
There was one big temple near my house built by my grandfather. So I was taking care of the whole thing in the temple also. There is some festival, they come, Dr. Hema, please, you have to arrange everything. So like that, I was everything, but not my health. That was the last list of my thing, preferences. So I neglected. At the end of thing, you know what happened? All the things put together, I became so weak, so weak. I had a very great problem. And then Medicaid problem, I became very, very weak also. Then I prayed to Swami in 2000. I said, Swami, I cannot go further more than 1 inch. I have just ruined my health for you to give me. I just cried. Then the miracle happened. And Swami sent one person. She is an allopathy doctor in USA doing yoga therapy. She came to me and told me, did you cry in Kulwantal yesterday? Swami has got an answer for you. He came in my dream because I am also doing yoga therapy. He wanted you to do that. For yourself, you go do yoga and correct your problem. Then you have to become yoga therapist like me. That is Swami's order. She was telling. I was thinking, what is this? She gave me some old book also and then went. She didn't even tell my name. I didn't see her afterwards. I don't know. Then I thought, what is this? Swami wants me to do yoga at this age. I'm my age, more than 50 and all. I'm so plumpy. And I lost everything. I'm not even able to move. What yoga I'm going to...
Had a high BP and...
High BP, and uncontrolled. All
sugar problems.
I was taking insulin.
Diabetic.
Sugar was...
Insulin you were taking.
I went on insulin. And everything was high, uncontrolled. Because all stress and strain, made me like that. And I... then what to do? Then Swami said yoga. Then what? Yoga. Already 10 years back I tried yoga. Like, to many people I went. I had no answer. Something, they want to come for a long time, I had no time to go like that. I went to one Krishnamacharya Yoga Mandir. They said, they made me sit 1 week I went. Every day they made me sit in the chair and ask me, breathe in, put your hand up, breathe out, put your hand like that. I was doing 1 week.
Very hard to...
I said, is yoga means there is a mat now, can I come down and I want to do some asana. Asana? What you are speaking about asana? You correct your breathing first. That will take a long time for you.
Oh, you cannot
come down. You sit in chair for the weight you have. She was telling. So I have to sit in the chair and do something for 1 week. Every day going and coming is lot of money for them, giving them money, and then my career is, my clinic is over. It's not accessible to me. I left like that. So many things I told you. I had 10 years back, I had the passion because Swami Vivekananda, I studied in Sarada Vidyalaya school, which taught us everything. I used to have a passion for that, but I never had the opportunity. Then now Swami is telling you, yoga, where will I go? Then I again pray to Swami. Swami, you say, yoga, where I will go find a guru? Please tell me a good guru. Whom should I learn? Then that also he did a miracle and showed me Dr. Ashok Kumar is the guru I should go. He directed me. Then I went there to another miracle he did. So I went to him and said, don't worry, doctor. All the problems, the acute problems will go within a week. Then slowly all the problems will go. As he said, really, I got it. Within 1 week, I got all the acute problems gone. It was so nice. Then I understood the value. Then he, under him only, I got the yoga therapy. Mm-hmm. First under Dr. Ashok Kumar of Indian School of Yoga. Then he helped me to have an Indian Institute of Yoga in my house. He only helped me. I established, that's the story. It began with my getting cured and all Swami's grace. I should never be... I don't know how to show. I thought I'm useless to the society. I'm useless to my family. I'm useless to myself. I depended for everything for others. Become so weak.
May I ask, of course, I can see how energetic you are and you're very trim. Obviously, you don't have any weight issues anymore. But how is your blood pressure, doctor?
It's normal.
And your sugar levels?
Is also normal.
Do you still take any medication?
Yes, nowadays I'm taking tablets. Previously, because I think I can stop it, but now I'm in Puttaparthi in one place for the past 3 months.
Months, yeah.
I travel a lot. Mm-hmm. So whenever there is a traveling, there's no control over the
diet.
Yeah. Then always I measure. If there is thing, I will take. Otherwise, I won't take.
But you're not on insulin anymore?
Not me, insulin. No. I got, even within 2 months, Dr. Mohan was so happy. He was treating. He told me, definitely, doctor, why, how is it that your sugar has gone? I said, I'm doing yoga. He said he wanted a yoga. We both of us together done a VCD. He is talking on that also. And his... clinic, it is available, actually, my yoga.
So this is the world-famous diabetologist, Dr. Mohan from Chennai, who has the Dr. Mohan's clinics, which are very famous for diabetes treatment.
He was my doctor, as well as we are same when we do the medical camp.
And he's a Sai devotee.
Yes,
Sai devotee. He's one of us.
Yes. So he said, definitely this should go to everybody. You produce a diabetes CD. I will support you. I will talk to you on that. And the releasing also, in a big thing, he arranged where it was released in a very big manner. It came out in Hindu and everything. The yoga for diabetes. This is very famous one CD. All very easy postures I have done.
So now in the general hospital, you have patients who come from within Puttaparthi, Swami's staff and Central Trust and everybody, ashram residents. But you also have a lot of people coming from distant places like Dharmavaram and Kotacheruvu. How do you make it practical for them? They only come one time?
One time. Mm-hmm. I asked them, can you come tomorrow? Obviously, they say, no, I'm from Dharmavaram, I cannot come. Then I make them, I give them preference. I give, for the people who are in Puttaparthi, I say, just today you learn pranayama, then tomorrow you can come and do meditation. Mm-hmm. Then for
you prioritize.
The people prioritize. Who can come only today, people come from Bangalore, people come, I come from West Bengal for some darshan, then they come to the general hospitals, referred by doctor. Then I teach them, I make them all together and do it.
And then they go back. back and do their 15 minutes
and
of
And we are
yoga.
Getting very good response. They are writing letters and phoning up, telling me, oh, doctor, I got so much good. Only with one day.
Mm-hmm.
Because all easy, you know, they are able to do it.
Yeah,
and Swami's grace is that. That's a more, well, whatever we do here in Puttaparthi and everywhere on His name. In Chennai also, when they come, I will tell. My patients, I will tell. You are here because Swami wants to give you His treatment through me. So I'm just an instrument. So you are here because Swami has called you. And it's easy here to treat people or tell people about the Yama, Niyama. I have been telling it in Madras. It's very difficult. You know, it's a materialist place. When I say, you have to forget and forgive the enemies and all, they don't understand. What is it? Why should I say? That is the attitude I've been doing with them. It's very difficult to change their attitude. Yoga is, you have to counsel and make that. We have to tell them.
Yeah, there's a counseling aspect to yoga.
That's there. But here also, I just tell them and remind them of the thing. That's all. Here, Swami has told 100 times. But I tell you, want to get patience, but we are not getting it. For that, you do the pranayama, meditation, simple asana. You get it. Because that is Ashtanga Yoga. In the Ashtanga Yoga, there are 8 steps.
Yes.
Third step is asana. The first step is yama, second step is niyama. Yama Niyama is very difficult to follow. We can say easily to tell only truth, be non-violence, we have to non-stealing, and all those things come. Cleanliness, purity, contentment, all the 10 things. Do's and don'ts in life are Yama Niyama. If anybody has to do the first, then the second class, and go to third class, nobody can go to third class. Because it's so difficult. So easy way Patanjali has done, it's like a circular. The steps are not linear. So you can hop from anything to anything. The easiest step is the asana. So all of us practice first asana. When you control the body through the asana, then the next step is pranayama. That is the breathing techniques. So when you do breathing, your mind gets controlled. Then the 7th step is the meditation. So from 3rd to 4th to 7th, you are
so
following.
Patanjali made it accessible to everyone, including, let's say, a criminal wants to get into the yoga therapy. Even he can jump in and
start with asana.
And hopefully by the time he does the pranayama and the dhyana, his tendencies and his mind games will
so
change.
So that byproduct, the first and second week, occur to him. It comes to him, not that he should fall and then go to third.
Yeah.
Yama, Niyama.
Because by the time we all give up non-stealing and non-violence and everything, it'll take a few lifetimes. So we can jump into this circle.
That's
wherever.
The easiest way for the ordinary person who can just go to asana, then go to pranayama, then do meditation. And then at the end of 1 week, the people will come and tell, yes, madam, I was very, very angry with my boss. I was angry with my teacher. Now they are telling her, what is that? You are not shouting. Even the people will, within a week of the people at the home, they find out. I want to tell you, one Muslim man was taking in Dr. Hande Hospital yoga treatment under me because Dr. Hande recommended big hospital. He was telling, madam, I'm so obese. What I can do? I said, I will teach you some standing asana with the support of the world. You don't worry. Then 1 week he had been coming and doing. He got very good result. We saw the blood sugar is coming down. His symptoms improved. No leg pain. Then on that day, we are recording all the patients. I'm writing a book on that. I want to give everybody's thing. You should do. Who all then had been benefited. I said, his name is Muslim. On that day, the paper, it has come. Some Muslim countries, they have banned, thinking that yoga nobody should do because of religion. Then I told him, sir, his name is Hussein. I said, I don't want you to put into trouble to me into the book. I don't want. Because, why to necessary? I will take all other people. For that, you know what he said? Madam, mine should be the first. Because 1 week I had been coming here without telling my people. Then, today, I told, they were all asking, where are you going at this time daily? You go to the same place daily because you have changed within a week. My own people have understood my change in my temperament. They said, you are not telling where you are going, but we want you to go to the same place because we are all very happy. Your temperament changed, you are cool. And he said, then I revealed to them, I am going to yoga. So that is the effect of yoga had it on me, madam. Please do it. Tell me whatever comes, I'm ready to. So you can see in my books, I'll tell every book, the stress, yoga, diabetes, his book, his paper, his name with his phone number is there because he got benefit. So that is the benefit of yoga. Within a week, you can tell because he did the asana, the pranayama. That's all. He got the change in his mood. That's the thing.
Thank you, Dr. Hema. I really enjoyed listening to you and learned so much. I feel very inspired. For all you know, I'll be your first patient tomorrow morning at the General Hospital. And I hope you will come back and share further information about the benefits of yoga on overall holistic health with our listeners.
Sairam, thank you. I also thank Swami for the grace and thank you also for the nice interview. Thank you,
Sairam.
Thanks, Vananda.
Sairam, dear listeners, and now at the end of Morning Glory this morning, I want to share with you the happiest news ever. Guess what? Today, that is on November 17, 2016, this year, today happens to be the tithi or the day according to the lunar calendar when the avatar was born on earth. So please take a moment to savor this divine moment and thank the Lord that we are all alive to celebrate it. And be sure to wish the Lord in your heart and do whatever you do traditionally to celebrate the birthday of the head of each of our families. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home and make tahar or yellow rice, which is a must-make dish on the birthdays in our Kashmiri tradition. Then I will offer it to Swami and then to the divine spirit in birds and animals and have the rest for lunch with our staff. So on behalf of all our listeners, the entire team at Radio Sai, we place our love, our deep gratitude and birthday greetings at Bhagwan's lotus feet on his tithi birthday today. The birthday according to the lunar calendar. Happy birthday, dear Swami. We love you, we trust you, and we belong to you. And you are our star and our God. Thank you for keeping us in your divine fold. Sai Ram. Come, ride the waves of divine ecstasy and experience the deep joy and bliss of Sai Bhajans. To celebrate the 91st year of Bhagwan Baba's divine advent, Sai Blossom presents Bhajan Medley Volume 2, a collection of high-energy congregational music to evoke sublimity, devotion, and a deep connect with divinity. Let's purify our hearts, homes and environment with Bhajan Medley Volume 2. Available at Sai Blossom Stores Prashanti Nilayam from November 2016. A loving offering by Team Radio Sai at the lotus feet of our Lord, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Dear listeners, have you sat through a session of Sai Bhajans? Then you will be familiar with the soothing vibes and intense emotions that one feels while participating in bhajans. As your hands keep beat and your voice sinks in melody, your mind will experience a focus on God that is soothing to the core. Imagine a session of such bhajans that flow non-stop, moving from one bhajan to another seamlessly, gripping your mind in a scintillating devotional reverie. That is what a bhajan medley is all about. We are glad to present the Sai Blossom Productions Bhajan Medley Volume 2. A collection of theme-based medleys is here to give you the thrill of Sai Bhajans and hold you in thrall to a devotional cascade. To be available in the Sai Blossom stores this November, celebrating the 91st year of Divine Advent. Radio Sai humbly offers this at Bhagwan's lotus feet.